Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Welcome and good morning. You have just tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show, and I hope all of you out there, it's a little kind of one of those weathers. It feels like school's around the corner, and it is.
I know. It really has. This week, it's really changed to feel that way.
I know. So I'm so glad you're here, Marcia. And you know what? This is so Marcia. She brings a little basket with some coffee cups. And of course, you know, it's funny because Marcia does not like plastic, or you know what,
I don't like artificial
yeah,
junk.
Which, you know what, now you've gotten me into that because I really appreciate,
I just think coffee cups. Tastes so much better in a real cup.
Yeah, so she brought a little basket of coffee, and so we're just kind of kicking back here. And
it's a good morning here.
I know.
Yeah, it was totally selfish because I wanted coffee, and I had a whole pot made, and I didn't have time to drink it, so I'm like, all right, I'll just take it with me.
I know, but thank you for joining me in that, because
you're welcome.
I love that. I didn't actually have time to have my coffee either, and it's funny, Boomer came to my house. Welcome, Boomer.
Good morning.
He's getting ready to go back to school, too.
Yeah,
not go back. Go
away. I mean, well, go back and
go
away.
For, yeah, away.
He's going away
time.
To college. God,
I know. We were
That's
talking
so
about
exciting.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
I know. We're
I right loved college. I've told Kim this many times that, you know, although I love my life now and my family and my husband and all that stuff, as a period of life, looking back on my life, there was not another period of my life that was so much fun.
What did you love about it so much?
Well, you didn't have any responsibility, obviously, because you, except for yourself and your grades and your schooling, but it was a complete enlightening age for me. I was very sheltered growing up. I grew up in an area very similar to where we live, actually.
Oh, so that's how my kids say with that they're prisoners there.
Well, they're not, you know, they're not prisoners, and I mean, obviously, we live there for a reason.
Exactly. Thank you.
But I honestly think I didn't know people from different cultures when I was growing up. I think my kids are less sheltered in that respect, but I didn't really know people from different cultures. They weren't involved in my life. And so it was really exciting. I lived in Long Beach. And so every other street was like, you know, million-dollar homes and then normal people, then the ghetto, then million-dollar homes. And so it was a great experience to, you know, have that all. I just thought it was
fabulous. And it's
a community.
That's what I love about our areas. As I feel like, you know.
No, I'm talking about college.
Yeah. Oh,
you
but,
asked
but
me what
where
I liked
you
about
lived.
I lived in Long Beach.
Right. And yeah. So you said it was more of like a community.
Yeah, it was really fun. But besides that, you know, you'd go to, you could open your mind. You didn't have to take, and I loved my parents, you didn't have to take their opinion on anything or their view of something. You could go with an open mind and learn and discover and decide for yourself what you believe.
You know, that's really what we talked about yesterday and actually the day before, of really, you know, that our life is like a GPS in a sense. And then all of a sudden, when we are ready and we're not afraid to really look at ourselves and become who we really were meant to be, what our journey is, not just follow in the past what our parents have taught us.
And 90% of the stuff that my parents taught me, I still believe.
Absolutely.
But it was the...
Your choice.
Yeah. And, you know, my dad had been in World War II. And then he got out of school, and then he felt like he had to do everything really quickly. So he got through his bachelor's and his master's at Northwestern in 3.5 years.
Wow.
So his only advice to me was enjoy yourself. Because even though he played on the basketball team, he said, I wish I would have taken the time to really enjoy college. And so I really did. I mean, I had a great time. I joined a sorority. I met friends. I still have lifelong friends from that. But besides that, it really helped me shape who I was.
I love it.
And, you know,
and I love who you are.
Yeah,
I really
thank you.
Do. I do.
And before I went to college, I was not meek, but I was like a go along with it person. Like, you know,
I can't even imagine you as a go along.
I know. I know.
That's
but
just, that's just definitely not Marsh. I
never wanted to rock the boat. I always wanted my family to be happy. I never, you know. And so when I went to college, I finally had the opportunity to say, hey,
who
you
am
know,
I?
Stand up for myself. I, you know, there is no one else but yourself when you're an adult. Really, at some point, you got to break away from your parents and stand on your own 2 feet. So it was a good transition between that. And no matter what you're studying and learning, I did learn that.
Wow. That's so. I mean, and really, that's kind of, you know, it's funny because same thing. I was married before, you know, got into hair really early, like in high school, knew that was my passion. Started doing hair, owned a hair salon, same thing. I went to an occupational center because instead of a college. So I kind of missed out on that part of what
right.
you had of I was responsible right off the bat. And now I'm kind of taking a look at my life and rethinking it and
right.
really looking at, am I living in my passion? Am I aligned with what I need to be doing in my life, you know? And I just think it's a perfect time, you know, to take time out to do that.
Well, I think every 10 years you do that in your life.
Yeah.
I really do. I think you, you know, reevaluate where you are and where you're going.
I do too. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marsha. We got Boomer on the board. And I'd love to give out our phone number here at 805-639-0008. Are you doing what you love? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're really, you know, it's funny. This whole week is, it just must be in the air, you know, of really figuring out, are we on the right track? And you know, if you're not, it's okay to make a right turn or a left turn. Because that's what life is. It's just evolving. And
I'll tell you, Boomer, I envy you because my sons are seniors in high school and they're just at that trying to figure out where they're going to go thing. And this is stressful.
It is stressful.
And, you know, it doesn't really matter. I shouldn't say it doesn't matter which college you pick. You will fit in a college and enjoy where you go for the 99% of the people. But that process is just terrible.
And you know what it is? The most important part of it is feeling good in your own bones.
That's right.
That really is.
You know, because my grandma was a professor at SC, you know, got her doctorate from SC. But do they ever ask her where they got her undergraduate from?
No.
They never do. So you know what? Maybe people also need to understand that you don't have to go to the extreme 4-year or the UC if you're not ready. Go to the community college or go to the college that fits you.
Right.
And don't do something because your parents want to say, oh, you have to go to Berkeley. You have to go to USC, UCLA. If you're not ready for it.
Well, the other thing I have found with a lot of the families at my kids' school, and this is a school that, you know, it's a private school, so a lot of people can afford a lot, although it's not the private school that everybody's spending $26,000 to go to. But they have really thought out, okay, so when you get out of college, how much debt are you going to be in? And is it worth that for your undergrad? I mean, that's a whole different conversation. Because if you come out, if you don't have any help for your finances and you come out of school, let's say you do go, and my husband went to SC, I love SC.
With a huge debt.
And you have a $200,000 debt getting out of school. You haven't even gotten your master's and you need a master's. And then, you know, how long is it going to take you now 40% of the kids getting out of college aren't getting a job in their field
right.
for a year or two. How long is it going to take you to recover that $200,000? Would it be better to go to a UC or to go to a community college for 2 years and at least offset the cost? A lot of parents are really rethinking that.
And I think that's a really good thing to
yeah.
think about because you're right. My oldest daughter, she went off to a 4-year college. My younger daughter went to a 2-year college and is transferring into a private college. So either road is good.
Right.
You can get to whatever your dream is. You just have to have a dream.
Well, and sometimes private colleges end up less money than the public colleges, depending on how much you get. So you kind of have to keep an open mind with how much... where, you know, one of my friend's kids just graduated from USC and she is a very smart girl and went into school with a 4.8 or whatever it is. So they gave her a lot of financial aid. Her best friend went to Cal and you'd think Cal would be Berkeley would be less expensive because it's a state college. But because she got so much help, her education ended up costing her a lot less at USC than her best friend's education at Berkeley. So you really just have to, as a family, not listen to all the gump everybody else is giving you and decide for yourself.
That's scary,
what,
though.
What is good for your life.
Yeah. That is scary. I mean, that is really great advice. But you have to, and I love where Prudence has the vision board, where you literally, right. To try to figure out who you are, of kind of put all your thoughts and dreams down, and so you can visually see it.
Well, and I think for some kids, it's really stressful. For one of my sons just was so stressed out for about a month because I don't know what I want to do with my life, honey. That's what college is for,
right.
For you to figure out what you want to do. You don't have to know what you want to do to go to college. And so once we got over that hump, and allow him to go to school without knowing exactly what he wants to do, now he's much better with the process.
I love it. We're going to take a really quick break, and our phone number here is 805-639-0008. I want to hear if you are doing what you love and what your road was that you took to get there. We've got some great topics today. We are talking to Meredith Deeds, and she is the Mixer Bible. And then we are also going to talk to Kristen Kinney, and hers is Setting Your Kids Up for Success, Tips for Parents Who Want the Very Best Education for Their Children. So with that, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, here with Marcia and Boomer.
Join us at the Lewis Music Academy this summer and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello. We also have a perfect cure for the summertime blues with our rock and roll summer camps. And for your adorable MIDI music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 5. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music.
Did you hear John down the street passed away? He was so young.
Oh, man, wasn't he a single father?
Yes. I have no idea what they're going to do. What would we do if that happened?
Ooh, who would take care of our kids?
Oh, we really need to get a plan in place, but where do we even start?
I am attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who do not plan accordingly. Making a plan to help your family in the event of a tragedy is very important. Let me help you by answering all your questions and show you ideas on how to plan, not for future events, but to protect your family from waste and bad investments through the use of a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Let's go, girls.
You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Remember to visit the show's official website at www.thekimpaganoshow.com. You can podcast prior programs as well as check out articles and other tidbits from previous interviewees. It's all at the official website of The Kim Pagano Show, www.thekimpaganoshow.com. And now, once again, here's Kim.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. And, we're just sitting here kind of having coffee time. I love it. I want to put this out here for everyone. I'm actually looking for the best women in their industry to profile on my show.
Oh, cool.
And so if anybody out there, either if you are that woman or you know of somebody that you've just been to in an industry and you are just wowed by them, I mean, to you know that they're in their passion, you know, those people that you'd go to and you just go, oh my god,
they're inspiring.
I'm so glad that I found them.
Yeah,
I want to know, and I want you to email me a small paragraph of why you think you should be on my show or why you think they should be on my show at kimpagano@gmail.com. And I'm really excited because I want to bring out the best in everyone. And we're going to start with the women in our, you know, out here. So definitely get on board with that because I would love to talk to you live here on my show, on the Kim Pagano Show.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? You said you're actually cleaning closets. You know, it's funny, as I was driving here today, I thought, oh, a little bit of spring break or spring cleaning right now, you know?
Well, I have two kids away. I have three kids, and two of them are away for different reasons. My daughter's at camp she goes to every year, and it's an international camp, which is kind of cool. There's half Japanese kids and half American kids. It's through our church. And then two Japanese kids are coming over to our house for a couple
of
days.
Fun.
So that would be really fun. So I decided it was a perfect time. And my other son went with family friends to Oregon. And so I thought, oh, perfect time to clean the closets. And, oh, what a mess I've got myself into.
So hold on.
Into.
You cleaning your closets, not theirs,
I'm cleaning all the closets.
Okay, so they don't care if you throw things away? Or
no, what I do is I because they won't take it out of their closet. So I just take out what I think they're going to and I put it in a pile, and then I let them go through it and see if they really like it. But I need to move some stuff. I mean, my kids are teenagers, but they still have a couple boxes of stuff they wanted to save. So I need to actually put that down in our little storage thing down and get, you know.
Here's what I don't understand is I have, okay, so I do that. Then I have all this, but then I'm still sentimental kind of attached to it. But
so is my husband.
I know. He's a lot.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I mean, it's called a two move out process. Like, you move it to another area, like the storage area. And then, if you don't look at it for a couple of years, then I throw it out.
But there's things that are memorable.
Well, those I put in one box, and the stuff that's possibly able to get rid of, I put in another box. So I try to, I don't know, I'm not perfect at this, believe me. I am, and I'm probably not the person to talk to, as far as the most organized. But I'm trying first with myself. I'm trying to get everything out of... It's hard to clean a closet without taking everything out of it and then putting it back in, because otherwise you're just moving it around.
I know.
I think maybe that's the key, is take it all out.
Right.
Look at it and then put it back one by one and say, do I need this?
Right.
Yes. You know, it's a piece of clothes. Yes, I need
Have it. I worn this in the last year?
And then you go, no, I haven't. Here, let me put this on the donate pile. Let me put this on the, you know, some trash that you found in there because you got lazy and has schoolwork in there from, you know, seventh grade, and now you're a senior in high school and you're going, why the heck am I keeping my pre-algebra homework in here?
Well, and there's things that just get shoved in the back of your closet. Like, I had a box, and I think it came from my old house, from moving from my old house, and didn't even look at it.
Do you know, we just found a couple boxes that, and I looked through them, and I was like, okay, my life is in such a different place now. Do I need to keep? And I pulled a couple things out, but there's times that I kind of, like, they come to life again for me.
Well, this box happened to be like cards that you can send to other people, but it had a whole bunch of envelopes with our old address imprinted on it. I mean, things you can't use, so I just, you know, tore them up to make scrap paper out of it and stuff like that, so that I don't totally, you know, waste it. But
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Huh. All right. Well, I know that. It's weird weather out again. And that, how do you do with your clothes? Do you change from the hot to the cold, or
not yet? Because it stays hot through November.
Right.
I mean, we really don't. We don't have winter until January. So,
right.
I don't change.
No. Yeah, I just feel like I'm trying to lessen my load.
And, you know, and the thing that really disgusts me is when I pull out something out of my closet and it still has the tags on it. It's like, how wasteful is that?
But is it because you have a lot, or is it because you didn't love it when you first bought it?
Probably a half and half.
Right.
I have a lot, but I probably just didn't love it when I first bought it.
That's crazy.
Or bought it on sale and thought this is a great deal, I should buy it, and then, you know. And with me, I've changed sizes. So I've gone down in size, so I'm trying to get rid of all the bigger sizes so that I don't grow back into it.
So you don't grow back into it. I like that. Oh,
gosh. If you don't have the option to put the bigger pants on, you tend to stay. Don't do it then.
All right. So you just were talking about a really great fish that you had.
I made dinner the other night. And
now, was that a Weight Watchers dinner?
No.
Okay.
But I figure it out. I figure the points out. But I have, have you ever been to Trader Joe's and you see all these great things, you don't know how to use them, and you decide what I pick one item and I'm like, I'm going to make something out of that. They have this almond flour. It's flour that's just ground almonds. That's all it is. And so I'm thinking, God, that would be great with fish. So I had some orange roughy and I took milk and I drenched it in the milk and then I drenched it in the almond flour. I did add a little regular flour just to lighten it up. Otherwise, it falls off, you know. And then I just sauteed it in really lightly in olive oil. And then I made a reduction. So you take, you know.
Hey, yeah, talk to us about the reduction.
A reduction is basically when you, after you've used the pan and you've sauteed your fish and you put that in another pan, then you see all those pretty little brown bits on the bottom of your pan. That's all flavor.
How did you learn to cook?
Let me finish the recipe and then I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep
so then
on one thing here. Right?
I put some wine and some chicken stock in the bottom of that just to get the little pieces off, and just a tablespoon of butter for the flavor, and capers and lemon juice, and then you just cook that down. A reduction means that you take the liquid and you cook it down by half or more than that if you want it syrupy. And then I poured it over the fish and put it in the oven to finish cooking the fish. And it was fabulous. And
that sounds so,
you know,
good.
It's a recipe I've used for other things. And I just tweaked it to use the almond, whatever.
What is the difference between the almond?
Just the flavor.
Oh, really? So there is a definite flavor?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just like when you go to a restaurant and you get almonds on top of fish. So a lot of times they'll, you know, almondine fish.
Yeah,
almond,
I was just going to say, yeah.
It's the same
so
thing.
So in the flour, you could actually taste it.
Yeah. So how I learned to cook. One of my best friends growing up, whose name is Bonnie, her mom worked. My mom did not work. Her mom worked, and she was a gourmet cook. So every night at 4 o'clock, she would call Bonnie and explain how to make something. And all of the girls in the neighborhood, there was four of us, they were called the Four Musketeers, or the Three Shrews and Marcia is what they called us.
Three because, Shrews and
Marcia? Yeah, like, Shrews and Marcia, because they were all kind of...
you've told this story
tough
before.
Tough girls, but not tough, but,
were
you know.
Were you a tough girl?
No, I was really sweet. I was too sweet. I let people walk all over me.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, so we all learned to cook, and all four of us are really good cooks because of that.
Really?
So she
would, just watched her.
She didn't know. She would explain over the phone. She'd put us on speakerphone. I mean, we'd put her mom on speakerphone, and she'd step by step tell us how to make something. And it was not like how to make macaroni and cheese. It was how to make this kind of stuff.
And what did, I mean, was she a professional chef or she
no,
just
she
loved
was
to
a,
cook?
She owned a real estate company, but she was a fabulous cook, just fabulous. So all of us know how to cook because of her.
And so that's like, I mean, that's another mentor in your life that made a difference.
Well, she was the mentor in my life. She's also the same woman that after I graduated from college, and I worked in a flower shop for a long time. But she said, well, what are you going to do with this? And I said, well, I want to own my own store. She said, great. Well, for an entire year, she called me every Monday at 7 o'clock at the night and asked me what I did that week to make my goals come true. And within a year, I owned my own store. So it was really that woman who I was kind of scared of growing up, actually, who really impacted my life outside of my family more than anybody else.
Wow. And now, did she do that for her daughter too?
Yes, in totally different ways. Her daughter's in real estate and, you know.
I met her daughter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always gave her daughter a lot of confidence. But for some reason,
isn't
she just.
That, yeah.
You know, so gosh, go mentor somebody.
I know.
You have no idea what it does for their lives.
And it's hard sometimes to mentor your own children.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is a weird connection there.
I mean, I think that's a natural influence. I mean, talk about your children. Two of them do hair. And so, yes, you've always mentored them. But I think it's easier for kids to take advice from somebody not related to them.
I always say that. And I always say is surround yourself with people that you trust that are going to give your children advice that you're okay with, that
right.
You believe in, you know, that you're sound with it. So.
I mean, you should always say something truthful. So don't just give people advice and tell them they're wonderful when they're not. But when you find somebody, a young person, to have a special gift, to be able to tell them how great their gift is and help them clarify what the gift is. Because sometimes you have all these things and you just don't know what to do with all this stuff.
And you don't have the knowledge where to take it.
Right. And even though my dad, you know, helped me out financially to help me, you know, start a business. I borrowed money from my father, and my parents ultimately worked for me. And they were great influences. It really was Bobby who made a total difference in my life, because it was somebody outside of my family saying, yes, you are worth it. Yes, you are incredibly talented.
And it validated it more than just your parents saying, I love you, believe in you. Because
they did that all your life.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. My dad did the same thing. He lent me money to start my own salon. And it's kind of an interesting story, because I had done hair and I had worked at the salon. No, I'd got my license. I worked at another salon, and I thought this one salon was so cute and really upscale. And I went in there to work there, and they said that, yeah, you could work here, but were you interested in buying it? And I was like, oh my God, I just started. I didn't really think of that. Kind of like my radio show, really. I mean, it's very similar. And I walked in there and I was like, buy it? Oh my God, this would be a dream come true. And so I asked my dad to borrow some money, and he did borrow it. I paid him back.
Right, I did too.
And my mom worked there, and my sister worked there.
And how satisfying is that when you can pay them back?
Yeah, and I was so, this was my dream come true. And I had that salon for a lot of years, had 20 something people working there.
Yeah,
and
I had my store for 15 years.
Yeah. It was about 15 years, yeah. You know, and it was amazing until the earthquake. And then I made a different decision. But then I had my fourth child.
Yeah.
And decided, instead of babysitting all these hairdressers and manicurists and, you know, makeup artists, I need to go and kind of take care of my children.
Well, that's what my decision ended up to.
Yeah, so I started coming out this direction, and now I just rent a station, and it's perfect. I love paying my rent, and, you know.
Yeah, walking away from it.
Yeah, and then I came into this, so.
You know, small business owners, I got to tell you, there's so many. Please go out and spend your money in small businesses, because they really are what keeps this country going, and it is not easy.
It isn't easy.
No.
And you know, you have these big, huge companies that are coming in. And, you know, I mean, yes, you know, you're right. I mean, it is the independent owners are working so hard, and that's what's going to keep our world going.
I mean, even the flower business, since I haven't owned my store for 12 years, and it has completely changed. It has, now that Costco carries every kind of flower possible, and everybody can buy bunches of flowers almost wholesale, it has changed the business completely. You still can't. You know, you still need florists for funerals, in my opinion, funerals and weddings and special occasions. But they have to stay open every day of the year for you to be able to have them the day that you really need them. So it's a challenge. And I don't know. I mean, I've thought about opening another store, and I don't know that I could do it again.
Because it's too big of a competition in the sense of the prices wise, right?
I don't know how you make money at it anymore.
I know.
And when you have all the insurance and the employees and the stuff you have and the, you know, all the state insurances and stuff you have to carry, it's just overwhelming.
All right. Well, enjoy talking about this. This is just kind of our life. And again, you know, I want to give out our phone number here. I would love to open up our lines to anybody that wants to just chat. And I'm Kim with Marsha, and Boomer's on the board. And our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. We got lots more.
Do you ever feel like school gets in the way of your time with your children?
Wait, what do you mean? Doesn't everyone have their children in school all day, then fight with them to get homework finished in addition to everything else that needs to be done?
You must not have heard about Somas Academy Charter School right here in Camarillo.
What is Somas Academy?
Somas Academy has changed our lives. I'm so sorry I haven't shared this with you sooner. Somas Academy is a public school which is aligned with state standards and allows me to school my child on our time, giving us much more time for our family.
I'm not a teacher. How do you do this?
Trust me, I didn't think I could do it either. At Somas Academy, I partner with a great supervising teacher who guides us through the educational process. It's been so successful for us. Not only that, Somas Academy offers individualized learning for kindergarten through 12th grade, friendly teachers, park days and field trips, on-campus enrichment days, and specialized teachers for classes and labs for high school.
Wow, that sounds like a great fit for our family.
Call Somas Academy today for more information at 987-1188, extension 100, or visit their website at somas-academy.org.
Hi, George Thompson here, and you have a friend in the diamond business. Here at my jewelry factory and diamond outlet in Camarillo at the 101 and Las Posas off-ramp in the Target Center, we can save you up to 75% off regular retail jewelry prices. How can I do this? I personally go to the World Diamond Cutting Centers in Israel, Bangkok, and Antwerp to get the best buys on loose diamonds. I have built a jewelry manufacturing factory in Bangkok, Thailand. I've hired world-class goldsmiths and jewelers to cast our gold, set our diamonds, and create the finest quality jewelry. I eliminate the middlemen. People think they can get better jewelry prices by going to one of the clubs or the malls or on the internet. But none of them make their own jewelry. They have manufacturers like me who supply them with their jewelry. That's why a half-carat diamond anniversary ring that's $1,590 at Macy's is only $395 here at George Thompson's in Camarillo, right off the 101 in Las Posas in the Target Center next to Staples.
Why go to LA's Wholesale Jewelry Mart when you can get your diamonds factory direct at your friend in the diamond business? George Thompson in the Target Center in Camarillo.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
All right. Welcome back. And we're just actually sitting here having coffee, chatting. This is all good. I love it. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I want to let everybody know, if for any reason you missed any part of our show, you can always listen again from 3 to 4. Repeats itself. And one of these days soon, we're going to actually do a backward show. We're going to do it in the afternoon. And Yeah.
How
and
fun.
Then so we could sleep in a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
Although I love starting my day with everyone. Yeah. And then I feel, you know, it's like I'm ready, rock and roll, and here we go. You know,
there is an advantage to getting up early, because then you don't have an excuse to stay in bed and goof off. And
you're ready for anything. Yeah. I love it. So, yeah, that's why I love doing it. Everybody's like, really? You get up and do your show every day live? Yep, I'm ready to go.
Well, you're kind of a morning person anyway.
I am. I do. I do my best. And also, I want to let everybody know, if you're out there walking, you know, or you want to take me up with you on your walk, if you have a smartphone, you can tune in on TuneIn Radio and find actually my name of my show, my picture. Everything's there. And listen live on the Kim Pagano Show for that on TuneIn Radio. It's an app, and you just go in, and you don't even have to purchase it anymore. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's good. And but I do know we have a caller right now. We have Meredith Deeds, and her book is The Mixer Bible. Meredith, are you there?
I sure am. Hi, ladies.
How are you?
I don't know why. Every time I don't eat breakfast, we have somebody that's got this fabulous cookbook on. So
I know. We're looking at this coffee cake that's on.
Know.
Wouldn't that go great with our coffee
now?
So tell us a little bit about, I know you were on our show before, and I was so excited to talk to you about the Mixer Bible. It was cute, because when Boomer thought this, he goes, oh, God, we're going to talk about Bibles today? So, and I said, oh, no, only cooking, only food, you know me. So how did you start writing this? Oh, I'm looking at creamy mushroom soup. That's got to be one of my favorite soups.
You don't think about that much for a mixer, do you?
No.
Well, let me just back up and say that this book is really a perfect accompaniment for anybody that has a stand mixer.
Oh, cool.
I do.
And there are a million people that do. Most people own KitchenAids, but there are a lot of others out there these days that are really nice. And so if you're making a big investment, and these stand mixers, they're not cheap.
No, they're not.
They're not cheap. So why not spend another, you know, $25 and get a book that's going to really show you what to do. I had this woman tell me, you know what, I bought a stand mixer and all it did was stand until I got your book, and now I know what to do with it. And so really, this is the purpose of the book, to show you what to do with your stand mixer besides letting it stand on your counter.
I love it. That is funny. Okay, so how did you come up with all these incredible recipes?
Well, the idea is, you know, I mean, there are a ton of, a large portion of the book is dedicated to baking and bread and all those things that, you know, you really do think of right off the bat. But there are so many other options now with stand mixers, even if you don't have the extra attachments, because there's a ton of attachments.
I know, it's kind of fun.
Even an ice cream maker. We've got ice cream recipes in this book, because for KitchenAid, you can buy an ice cream maker attachment, you know, that really frozen sleeve that you can set in there. And so there's a lot of things you can do, and we've got tons of recipes for a lot of the different attachments. But the book is really going to be good for you, even if you don't own any attachments at all. And people were just asking me all the time, you know, what else can I do? And they're not thinking of the meat loaves and the meat and the meatballs and the mashed potatoes and the, you know, all these different options that you can do with your stand mixer besides whisking up a batch of chocolate chip cookies, which is also in the book.
It is in the book, yeah. In fact, Beef Wellington. So I'm looking through all these. I'm going, oh, I can make that. Oh, I can make that.
Now, why is Beef Wellington in the book? Well, you know what? You make the puff pastry in a stand mixer. And so we've got a great recipe for quick puff pastry, and which now I use all the time because it's so wonderful. And most of the puff pastry you buy at the grocery store is made with hydrogenated fats, you know, the shortening and whatnot.
Right.
Whereas really the difference between that and full homemade, you know, full butter homemade puff pastry is just, it's just incredible. They're two different animals.
Now, I've never made puff. I am a good cook, and I've never made puff pastry. I have always made pie crust. Is it similar?
It is sort of similar. Now, the traditional puff pastry takes a little bit of time, and you're doing a lot of refrigerating and resting and folding and whatnot. We've got a recipe for quick puff pastry that is allows you to speed up the process a little bit. But really, the difference is you've got these big pockets of fat in there, butter, and that's the you want the butter.
Right.
And when the fat, you put it in the oven, the fat melts and those pockets exist and hot air expands. So you've got these little balloons that are created essentially, and that's what creates all the flaky layers of puff pastry.
Wow.
Okay, I did see the first thing off the bat I see is that you say to put the cylinder, the pastry cylinder, in the refrigerator before you start for 2 days, up to 2 days, which is really important to make everything cold.
You don't have to keep it in there for a full 2 days, but it can be kept up to 2 days. And the point of it being cold is, not to get too technical on your folks today.
I do want to know that. So everybody can know, what is the purpose?
And this is true, by the way, even if you're just buying puff pastry. The reason is that if you put warm puff pastry into the oven, or puff pastry that isn't cold, then those pockets around the butter, that which is the flour and, you know, water and all that other stuff that goes into the puff pastry, they don't have time to set. So essentially, you need it nice and cold so that when the heat hits it, the butter stays there long enough for that pocket to set, you know, for that pastry to bake a little bit,
right,
so that the layers can be created.
And there's only five ingredients to puff pastry: flour, cake flour, salt, butter, and ice water.
Yeah, there's not much. And in that way, it's very much like like pie crust. Yeah.
Right. Ooh, and you know what I love? Have you ever had Neapolitan?
Oh, yeah.
God, that's like a family recipe.
Okay, so I turn the page and it's sour cream pastry. All right, now you're down my...
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But we've got all kinds of recipes in this book. And it was a really... This was the first book I ever wrote. And this is actually... This is the second edition of that book. So we went in and revised it, you know, and added a bunch of new recipes to it after the first edition. But this cookbook is sold, you know, it sold so well the first time that there was really, you know, enough interest to go back and do another edition of it, and it's just a fun, and you know, people that own those stand mixers love them. They're fanatical.
Yeah, because I you can use them, and I mean, they are incredible.
It's a treasure, I tell you.
It is a treasure, absolutely. You know, I just want to let everybody know we're talking to Meredith Deeds, and she is the author of The Mixer Bible. And Meredith, you know, I know that you have so many books. You've written 10 cookbooks, right?
Six.
Oh, okay. It says actually.
You're giving me credit for a few more.
Yeah, well, it
okay.
says as
done,
one of the top 10 cookbooks. Okay.
No, this cookbook is one of the top 10. So that's.
No.
It's, no?
No.
Anyway.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, I would love to keep bringing you back and, you know, talking about all your books because you've done a really good job writing them and
well,
they're
thank
easy.
You.
Well,
they're...
and how it's laid out, and I am a cookbook connoisseur, how it's laid out is really great. All the ingredients are on the left and then the on the right is the
yeah.
preparation, and it's really clear. So.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, this one was a fun book to write, and it's nice when you have that, again, when you're buying that big stand mixer, you know, this book has everything from soup to nuts, appetizers to desserts, and there's so much you can do with it.
And, you know, if for wedding gifts, if you can't afford, you know, a person put that on their list and they've already gotten it. You know, you look up their list and see what they've gotten.
That's right.
And but you can't afford the mixer, but you could afford this.
Right.
It would
That's
be a great addition.
That's or if you really are splurging and giving somebody a mixer, this is really the thing that absolutely should go with it. Because if
right.
you want them to actually use it, they need.
Or
they
get
need
together
guys.
As a group and buy the mixer and the.
And the
book. And a couple of the attachments.
A community mixer, a co-op mixer. I like it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I
love it. Meredith, where does everybody find your book?
You know what? Anywhere books are sold, in bookstores, certainly online, Amazon.com, any place. Okay. And if you look up MeredithDeeds.com, we'll also link you to the
And
book.
That's Deeds.
Yes.
Right. All right. Thank you. I know
Thank
this was
you.
Short, but we will have you back. And, you know, as we get into the soup season.
Just enough to make me hungry.
There
now.
You go. I know.
Yes.
I know.
Wait,
you got.
Yeah, I'd love to come back in a few months or whenever to talk about soup because soup season's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you so much, Meredith.
Thank you.
All right. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I hope that you are getting value in what we're talking about. We're actually going to just kind of move right on to Kristen and setting your kids up for success. Tips for parents who want the very best education for their kids. And Kristen, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, we are kind of heading back to school. Just, I don't know if it's the weather or what, but it feels like that.
It does.
You know?
It's like there's one day where it's like, oh, this summer's over. I mean,
well,
I hate to say that because it's not over, but...
I know. Well, I was actually putting my kids back in school and had to, you know, figure out their classes and all that. I'm like, oh, is summer really over, you know? But it's just a time to kind of give thought and kind of get everything together. So how can you help us?
Well, you know, with school right around the corner, it's really important to start prepping your students with the routines of the school year. And nothing worse than the first day of school being the first time you've been up early in a couple of months or the first time that the kids have been responsible for their belongings and getting out the door on time and all of that. So the sooner you can start practicing those routines and having them in place by the first day of school, the better and the smoother your school year is going to start.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because that's a nightmare when you're going, we have to leave, and they're like, because I don't like when I'm, you know, going crazy. So that's a great point. And so you're saying kind of start, like, taking their, you know, their bedtime a little earlier and get them up a little earlier?
You got it. Okay. Definitely get those things into place. And, you know, another thing, too, is talking with your students about their school year and gearing up for the conversations that you should be having all year with them about what they've been learning and about what they want to get out of their school year. It's really important that kids feel ownership and responsibility for their education, even from a very young age, with what they're interested in and what they want to learn more about.
Hmm, yeah, make goals.
Yeah, and that is a really good thing. We've been doing family meetings and, you know, your highs, your lows, and what your goals are. And I think,
right.
you know, if you have a child that maybe, you know, you have one that's really good in math and one that's really good in English, but maybe they need help. There's tutors, you know, and there's so many things that can help them make their life easier. And so they're not going to be shutting down.
So talk to us about, I see on your bio that you have done internet learning. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. I create curriculum for online education for kindergarten, first, second, and third graders learning how to read. But I work for K-12 Incorporated, which is a curriculum development and school management provider. So we really look at the best possible education for kids anytime, anywhere, every time, everywhere, regardless of economic or demographic circumstances.
I kind of feel that right now it's so terrific for families to be able to choose different things. When we were kids, you just went to your public school or your private
you
school.
No,
you had no choice. And if you're not hacking it, oh well. You know, now if your kid doesn't learn traditionally the same way as other kids and they would benefit from a different way of learning, there's no shame in changing how their curriculum is.
Absolutely not. And, you know, even if your kids do well in the traditional setting, that doesn't mean they can't be just blowing up with their performance when you expand the flexibility and the individualization that online education affords you.
I have a question for you, though.
Sure.
Do you think that colleges have caught on yet? I have noticed that some colleges do not respect online learning as much as...
Slowly but surely, the schools are... Yeah, I mean, they're offering online courses, so they need to start accepting the online diplomas, kids that are earning diplomas through virtual schools as well. K-12 is fully accredited, and so our kids are getting into some excellent schools when they graduate. One of the things people who are interested in knowing more about that specific topic, they can visit the K-12 website, which is www.k12.com. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter, and we have a series called Ask a Grad, and you can talk to kids who have recently graduated from one of the virtual school programs that K-12 works through.
And the great thing is homeschooling used to be just that you'd think of homeschooling as, oh, your kid's at home and the mom, who may or may not have had a great education herself, has to truck through all this stuff. There's so many things that you can do.
And that's one of the reasons that I never did it. You know, my son races professionally, and so he always goes, Mom, everybody else, I'm like, do you want to be smart? You know? And now it's not only that, is really he's excelled, and there's supervising teachers. And it's an incredible, you have your kids back. They're one of my sponsors, Somas Academy. And I love what they allow your kids to grow at their own time.
Exactly.
And it's so great. And a lot of it is online. And our kids love to be online.
They do. So let's take advantage of that. And again, that's one of the things about going through a virtual charter school and the public school option of an online education that you're doing at home. You're working with your child. But materials are being provided to you. The curriculum is already put together for you. The curriculum is meeting your state standards, the Common Core national standards. So you're really making sure your kid's getting a high-quality education with good materials. But when you get to, I don't know, let's say 8th grade or 9th grade and it's time for algebra, I teach reading for a reason. You know, math isn't my forte. And I would be terrified about teaching an 8th grader math. But the curriculum is all there. And then there are certified, highly qualified teachers at the other end of the computer or just a phone call away that can also help support you.
Wow, what a great... So that's K12.com, correct?
Yes, K12.com, K12.
I do want to say a catalyst. I'm not sure this is the best idea for people whose parents work 50, 60 hours a week and the kid is unsupervised.
No, I definitely...
Because I supervised.
You still need to supervise your kids.
You still need a learning coach at home. And we have examples of that across the country. It's a mom, it's a dad, it's a grandparent, it's an aunt, it's a much older sibling in the home. You need a learning coach to be there with you.
I always said I would have...
The younger you are, the more time you spend with that adult, that learning coach. But the older you are, the less time you're spending... The learning coach at home really becomes more of the cheerleader and the you can do it, talk to me about how you feel, what's going on, what are you learning about, much like in a regular brick-and-mortar setting when you come home from school and you talk to your high school kid about what happened that day. That's really more the role of the parent or the learning coach in the high school age for a kid.
And I love this. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim here with Marcia. We're talking to Kristen Kinney, and her website is k12.com. And I love that Ask a Grad, you know, they've kind of, we talk about that on my show, of somebody else's journey. They've already gone through it. They can help you kind of make your journey a little bit easier. And so now, how was this founded?
We were founded by Ron Packard, who collaborated originally with a couple of different people. So Bill Bennett was one of our original advisors, and John Holdren from the Core Knowledge Foundation is still our Senior Vice President of Curriculum and Instruction. We've been around since 2001, and I have actually been with K-12 since the spring of 2001, working on kindergarten and first grade language arts. And we have virtual charter schools across the country. I know we have the California Virtual Academy for your listeners in California, but anybody that's interested anywhere in the world, just get on the K-12 website. In the center of the page, you'll see a blog that says Find a School Near You. And you just select your state or your location, and it'll take you to a page that explains what kind of online education options are available for you and your family.
And there's no charge for this?
It depends on where you are, but in most places, as a public school, virtual charter school, we are tuition-free choice.
Wow, huh. I love that. Wow.
Well, it's an exciting time for people who's making choices for their kids, because some kids just need something different.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, so what should parents be asking their kids' teachers?
I think one of the important things to talk to your students' teachers are, you have to be talking to them about your students' particular progress, not so much a vague, how is my child doing, or how is my child doing compared to everyone else, but how is my child doing compared to their potential? Are they reaching their potential? Are we moving too quickly through things for them? Are we moving too slowly through things for them? And that's why an online education, you know, gives you that choice to move at your child's pace. But when you're in the traditional setting, it's really important to be communicating with your teacher about the specifics of your child's progress and whether they need to be moving slower or can they be moving quicker through something.
Now, all my kids went through traditional schools, but the interesting thing was one of my sons, well, I had two different issues. One of my sons is very affected by audio, by people speaking around him. He gets very distracted, especially mm-hmm. when he was like in first and second grade. And I finally figured this out, and I asked the teacher if he could put earphones on when he needed to really study. And she said, well, sure. And he said, well, I'm going to look like an idiot. I go, I don't think so, honey. Just try it once. And he put earphones on. By the 2 months later, half the kids in the classroom had earphones on because they all had that
That's
same
a great
issue.
Idea.
And it really made a huge difference for my son's learning.
With just a little bit of help to find out their own learning styles, you know, kids really get into it, and then they see themselves as successful learners too, you know, and that's a big part of it is internally being motivated and thrilled with what you're capable of doing. And to help them reach that by, you know, it would help you to block out the other noise.
Now, my other
son said that, turn off the radio while you're doing your homework.
Could that's you
right.
imagine that?
And my other son had the exact opposite. He's a visual learner. So when the teacher would give an assignment verbally, mm-hmm. it would go in one ear and out the
in
other.
And out. Yep.
So I finally said to her, can you just make a corner of your board and write all the assignments so that the kids that are visual can see the assignment? And, you know, 6 months later, 4 months later, she said to me, Marcia, I can't tell you. Everybody in my class has improved.
That's great.
Because she didn't think about that.
And kids are embarrassed to ask it again.
That's right.
The thing that I found with my kids is, you know, they all have like a journal. And if they don't get it the first time, they don't go up and say, hey, is there any way? So they just don't do it.
Right. Well, now, luckily, most schools lot of the schools have all the assignments online. And so as a parent with younger kids, you can look up the assignments and find out. Or with a kid with an older kid can look it up themselves. So,
right. Kristen, can you give out that website again?
Absolutely. It's www.k12.com. It's k12.com. And you can find us on Facebook, where you can interact with lots more users. You can follow us on Twitter to find out more about what's happening with the curriculum in the schools. And also, when you get to the webpage at k12.com, you can find our blog. And that's another great place to find out all about the programs and to interact in community with other families, teachers, parents, and kids who are using the curriculum.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to check it out, too. And I'd love to share this. So I will get in touch with you to share this with all my listeners.
So the one thing I hope that all the listeners take away from this is, you know, be the advocate for your kid.
Oh, absolutely. My gosh. That's a huge, you're
big,
absolutely
big
right.
One.
Because they don't have anybody
else. No one else
but
will
us.
Do it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's...
No one is going to teach your children better than you. And so you have to be exactly like you said, you have to be their advocate and make sure they're getting the best education.
I love
around.
That. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I hope you stay posted and listen to our show.
I'd love it. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right. Well, thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my sponsors. Thank you, Marcia. What a
You're
great
welcome.
Show. We've been just here. She brought some coffee and some cute little heart cups because, you know, I
Didn't
love
hearts.
Didn't
that kind of change our attitude?
It did. It was so much fun. I feel like we were just having our own little tea party here or coffee party, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, well, I just want to remind anybody, if you missed any part of our show, you can listen again this afternoon from 3 to 4. And remember, I am looking for the women that are the very best in their industry. Somebody that you would love to hear more about them on my show, and somebody who's just living in their passion and it's their gift that they do. So if you are that person or you know of that person, send me an email, just a short little paragraph of why you think that you are that person and why you think that I should put you on my show. And you can send that to Kim Pagano, P-A-G-A-N-O, @gmail.com. I'd love to profile you on my show. With that, of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today is be not simply good, be good for something. So with that, I want to thank all of you. Go take on your day. Go do something out of the box, you know. Just think about something that you've been really meaning to do or like a friend that you haven't talked to in a long time. And make that call. Just make a connection so that you can kind of get connected again to people that you've kind of maybe been a little bit too busy. So with that, I'm Kim. You've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Boomer, great job on the board. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train.